Who is it?
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. I am in studio. This is Mindy McNeil, and I am joined by the CEO of the Women's Bean Project, and it's Miss Tamara Ryan. Thank you so much, Tamara, for stopping by.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks. Yes.
Okay, so you're here. You've braved the cold. You're here. We've got things going on, but it sounds like the Women's Bean Project has something going on because I think December 7th, am I correct? You are having your annual open house?
We are. December 7th, we're open from 9 to 3. That's a Saturday, and not very many times during the year are we open on Saturday. So you can buy all of our products there. We have some new stuff that we'd love to share with customers. Then we also have a few evenings where we're open later. The 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're open till 7 p.m. for people to come shop, especially if they work downtown and they want to come by after work.
Okay, so I know people are like, okay, products, what's going on? Am I just buying beans? So can you give us a little bit of elaborate? So I'm going to show up to this open house on the 7th, but I'm buying just a bag of beans, or what do you all have to offer?
Well, our first product 30 years ago, this year's our 30th anniversary, was a bean soup mix, 10 bean soup mix. And that's the reason we're named Women's Bean Project. Today we have about 50 different food products, and so they're all dry food mixes or ready-to-eat foods. It started with bean soup. We have 6 different bean soup mixes, but now we have brownie mix and cookie mix, and we also just introduced a line of snacks, so ready-to-eat snacks, and they're really fun things like an organic, all-natural Swedish fish kind of thing.
Oh.
They're our best seller of all the snacks, but also plantain chips and trail mix. And then we have beans and rice in a cup, instant. You can keep them at your office or, you know, send them to your kid in college. So a pretty wide variety of different products, but it all started with bean soup.
And you won't be able to see this, listeners, because now I'm about to give Tamara the evil eye because she's mentioning all this good stuff, but I don't see it here in front of us. What's going on? No. But no, this is really good because, you know, people think Women's Bean Project and they're like, okay, it's just beans. You've got other things. But I know that you all have this mission about changing lives by providing the stepping stones to help women. You've got some nourishing food. So can you just elaborate just a little bit more about how you maybe even evolved from beans to having, you know, we've got rice, we've got snacks, everything else?
Well, from the very beginning, we were a food manufacturer that employed women who were chronically unemployed. From the get-go in 1989, our founder noted that women might have, there were certain women who were chronically unemployed, and while they might have had the ability to get a job, they didn't have the skills to keep it. So she thought, if I could teach the women how to work by actually working, that would be the cure for poverty. She noticed that a lot of her friends were eating bean soup. Mm-hmm. She was in her late 50s.
Okay.
And she bought $500 worth of beans with her own money and put 2 women to work. And that was the beginning of Women's Bean Project in 1989. That first holiday season, they made $6,100 from that $500 investment.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of return?
I know. I need that kind of return. That's better than Wall Street. What are we talking about here? Okay.
So that was the very beginning. And through the years, we've evolved because, you know, I don't think we could have made it with just one product. And, you know, also through the years, we've really tried to diversify because bean soup doesn't say summer. As much as I try to convince people to eat chili dogs. And so we've expanded our product offerings really so that to increase sales year round, because for us, ultimately, sales create jobs. Mm-hmm. So we hire a woman to work for us for about 7 months.
Okay.
And she works in our food manufacturing business, but also she is learning a really wide variety of different skills. So she spends 30% of her paid time just in class activities like computer class and reading and math skills classes. She learns how to plan and organize. She learns how to budget. And so that's 30% of her paid time. And then 70% of her paid time is spent working in the business in some way. But she's hired for a full-time job. The whole goal is that she'll come to work for us for 7 months, and at the end, she'll go on to a career entry-level job in the community.
And that's what I wanted to find out, because when I was looking at the website, I was like, because that was the other thing, too. I'm like, 7 months, why a time frame of 7 months? Because, you know, you're either here with 90 days or 6 months or 9 months. So seven is, it's an odd number, and then it's an odd number.
Well, it's, you know, through the years, it's adjusted. We used to have sort of an indefinite amount of time and realized that that doesn't really work. People need deadlines. guidelines. Mm-hmm. Once they've come to us, they'd like to stay because we're a safe and accepting workplace, and they've gotten the opportunity to accomplish a lot of goals. So then we made it about 9 months, and what we found was that a lot of times women were ready before then. They weren't necessarily going to raise their hand to leave, but they were ready to start their transition out. We have a curriculum that they go through, and it takes about 7 months to get through that curriculum and really get to the point where they're stable and ready
to venture out. Now, mm-hmm. Because I know you are helping them get back into the workforce, or just to, even if they've been, you know, maybe not even in the workforce sometimes, or to have
the whole spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the curriculum, does it teach them how to maybe have job stability or to, what could you elaborate more
on? What we're focused on is what we would call barriers to employment. And barriers look like a lot of different things, but they might look like a low skill level because she hasn't had a job or a lot of jobs. It could look like a low education level because she dropped out of school maybe as a teenager when she had her first child. Mm. It might look like having a felony background because a lot of the women we hire have histories of addiction mm-hmm. and incarceration. And almost always that's related.
Okay.
So we're identifying what those barriers are. And as we know, as women, a lot of times those barriers are internal. They're the things that we say to ourselves that we believe that society has set to us.
The dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If you're lucky, it's a dialogue. I think sometimes it's more a monologue where we're looking in the mirror and having the conversation. But we're focused on all of those things, both the soft skills and the hard skills. So we kind of think of it as three legs of the stool. First, we have to make sure that she's stable. So we address her basic needs. We make sure that she has stable housing and transportation and childcare, if that's appropriate, access to health care, all of those things. Then once she has that stability, she can start thinking about what it looks like to come to work every day. And so by being employed by us, it's a full-time job.
Okay.
By being employed by us, we're focused on coming to work every day and being on time and, you know, all the planning it takes maybe to get to work on time. You know, paying attention to detail, listening to your supervisor and, you know, taking direction and those kinds of things.
Showing up on time and staying
exactly.
until the end. Okay.
And it doesn't matter where you work. Those are important skills to have.
Anywhere. Yeah, no.
And the also, I think, the persistence of seeing something through. So we are very goal setting oriented. And so everyone starts the week by setting goals. All staff and program participants set goals for the week. And we have a public forum where we say what our goals are out loud. And then on Fridays, we go back through those goals. So there's a public accountability and also an opportunity for celebration. And I think by getting people in the habit of on Monday, you think about what you're going to accomplish mm-hmm. for the week. I think that's a really important skill to develop. And then we have a whole program curriculum, and those are more life skills. Those are about planning and organizing and budgeting and starting to listen to what's going, the tapes you play in your head mm-hmm. and why they're true or not true and what you can do about them. But it's about all the things that got in her way of keeping a job in the past and trying to overcome those things.
You know, and I want to touch back on what you were just saying earlier, just monologue, dialogue, everything else. And I think that is such the thing, because I feel like as women, it's very easy to beat ourselves up, because it's like you said, society can say this. You know, what was I watching? I saw the Hoda Kotb and Jenna Bushhager. They are, you know, they're hosting that morning show on NBC, but they are doing this intermittent fasting. And so then they both got on the scale, and then and I think that was just the thing, because one of them was just really bothered, and then the other one was like, maybe we shouldn't have done that. And then I'm like, even with that, like, we just beat ourselves up of mm-hmm. like, okay, I should weigh what she's weighing, or I should wear what she's, you know, she's better than me or whatever, society. So I actually agree with you, because I think it is more monologue than it is dialogue, because we have our own internal thing going on.
Yeah. I think it's that, and also that we've internalized things that may or may not be true. And so what I see with the women who come to the BEAM Project is that they've internalized the things that society has told them about their lack of worthiness, that because they are a felon or because they've been mm-hmm. on public benefits or all the things that make them less worthy. And one of the things I often think about is that when someone graduates our program and goes on to a job in the community, she's done that because somewhere along the way during our program, she's realize she's worthy of having a better life.
I love that.
And I don't know exactly how you measure that, but you sure know it when you see it. And it's this transformation. 7 months isn't very long, but it's this transformation that happens for these women. A year after graduating our program, 95% of the women are still employed.
That's a huge, I think, statistic. Yeah, that's
it. It's amazing. And also what it is a testament to how much transformation she's had. Hmm. That, you know, someone who's never had a job longer than a year in her lifetime, that's one of our criteria, will then go on to keep a job for a year, you know, after a 7-month program. Yeah.
And you know, when I was doing some of my research earlier, one of the things that I put in here, I said this is when I was reading it, to me, it felt like this is a self-esteem builder, you know, the confidence, and it gives you, okay, because I feel like too, then you're like, okay, I've got allies, I've got a support system when I walk out into the world.
It's all of those things. And also there is something about earning your own paycheck.
Yes.
And knowing that when it's time for dinner, you put that food on the table. Mm-hmm. When your kid needs shoes, you bought those shoes. Yeah. I think that makes a huge difference. And so once that empowerment of getting your own paycheck, of setting goals and accomplishing them, of seeing that you're making progress in your life, of seeing that you have a future, all those things combined are what make the program successful, I think.
Now, a few things. Okay, so I do want to find out, okay, so what is, are women packaging beans and bean mixes? And then I show up and I'm like, oh, I want some beans. This money will then go back to them to help pay for them to work there. Is that correct?
Yep.
Or how does that work?
Okay, sale the cycle. Products, pay their wages.
All right.
And then the 30% of the time that they're spending in classes and things like that are covered with grants and donations. So the business itself is self-sustaining and makes a small contribution to the program activities, but mostly we're able to pay the women for their time when, say, they're in a computer class because of grants and donations from the community. But it is a legit manufacturing operation. Mm-hmm. We are a dry food manufacturer. So if you were to walk in today, for instance, there are several different production lines going on. I think they're making our scone mix.
Is that the butterscotch one?
Well, you can make it butterscotch. Okay. It's just a cream scone mix.
Okay.
It's so delicious. And, you know, tons of butter in it. So, of course, it tastes great. Wow. And so they're making a bunch of different things today. And then we also have a store at our location at 3201 Curtis Street.
Okay.
So when we have our holiday open house, the store is open during that time and all of our products can be purchased.
Now, a few things, because the founder, is my pronouncing it Jossie or Jossie?
Yeah, Jossie.
Jossie Erie?
Air.
Okay. All right. So she comes up with this vision. She gets everybody in. But then also, too, was she responsible or played a part in, because you guys are in like King Supers, we've got Whole Foods, there's a different places. So
yeah.
how did that make that transition as well?
Well, Jossie was involved. She founded Women's Bean Project and was involved for about the first 6 years of our operations.
Okay.
I've been the CEO now for 16 and a half years.
Okay.
And during the time I've been there, we've expanded pretty dramatically. We're in about 1,000 stores across the country. People who know us locally in Denver don't necessarily think of us as the size that we are today.
Mm-hmm.
We're in about 1,000 stores across the country, and then lots and lots of ways that we sell online. So a number of different kinds of partners. You can find us on Amazon and
Walmart.com, I think. Yeah.
And then also there are a number of new fair trade kinds of online stores. And so Done Good, Fair Shop, and you can find us in a lot of different places today.
So how do the women get involved with Women's Bean Project? Is it something maybe they've been in a homelessness situation, or they just are hearing about it, but like word of mouth, friends?
Number one referral source is someone else who used to be in the program.
Thank you.
And in some ways that is representative of intergenerational poverty, because we'll have a woman and her aunt and her cousin and her sister over time. I mean, the thing that in some ways makes me both proud and sad is that we've served, you know, as many as three generations from the same family. And then we also have halfway houses and treatment programs and shelters. And, you know, so anyone who's interacting with women who are on public benefits, mm-hmm. you know, in subsidized housing, just being released from incarceration, you know, those kinds of service providers would be likely to refer women to us.
Tamara, as we've been talking about this, if you could just say like maybe one thing, like if you're thinking of what could encompass the Women's Beam Project or what would the heart and soul of it be?
We believe that all women have the power to transform their lives through employment. And so we hire women who are chronically unemployed and we teach them to work by making nourishing products.
Tamara, we're talking and it's the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and we're going into New Year. But this is a year round. The Women's Beam Project is a year round. It's not just at the holidays. But what are some ways, though, that you all need some support and encouragement from our community?
Well, sales are always beneficial to us because sales create jobs. Our okay. ability to hire women is based on sales. Then we also do fundraise a portion of our operating budget. So grants and donations are always helpful also because that helps the women with their program activities.
Okay, and then I know we touched on it near the beginning, but we can go back again. The open house is going to be on Saturday, December 7th from 9 to 3. And what's the location where it's going to be?
It's in Old Firehouse Number 10 at 3201 Curtis Street in Denver.
Okay, now if people want to find more information, because I am going to put a link up from on our website to the Women's Beam Project, so there should be some information there about the open house.
Absolutely, okay. On the homepage. Oh. And you can go to womensbeamproject.com.
Okay, great. Do they need to call or are they just good for just...
You just show up.
Show up. Be ready to buy. Yes, and that would be great. Thank you so much, Tamara. I do appreciate your time and I wish you all the best of luck on the sale on the 7th.
Thank you so much.